not.
Not.
Te.
They.
Viduhu.
No.
Swartagatim. The ultimate goal of life.
Or their own real interest.
He
indeed.
Vishnum.
Lord Vishnu and his abode.
Durashayaha.
Being ambitious to enjoy this material world.
Yay.
Who?
Bahi.
External sense objects.
Artamaninaha.
Considering as valuable.
Andaha.
Persons who are blind.
Yata.
Just as.
Andahai.
By other blind men.
Upaniyamanaha.
Being led.
Te.
They.
Api.
Although.
Ishtantriyam.
To the ropes.
Laws of material nature.
Uru.
Having very strong.
Namni.
Cords.
Baddaha.
Bound.
So translation.
Persons who were strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home, back to Godhead, and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men led by another materially attached man, are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Since there must always be a difference of opinion between demons and devotees, Hiranyakashipu, when criticized by his son Prahlad Maharaj, should not have been surprised that Prahlad Maharaj differed from his way of life. Nonetheless, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry, wanted to rebuke his son for deriding his teacher or spiritual master, who had been born in the Brahmin family of the great Acharya, Shukracharya. The word Shukla means seven, and Acharya refers to a teacher or guru. Hereditary gurus or spiritual masters have been accepted everywhere since time immemorial. But Prahlad Maharaj declined to accept such a seminal guru or take instructions from him. An actual guru is Shrotriya, one who has heard or received perfect knowledge through Parampara, the disciplic succession. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj did not recognize a seminal spiritual master. Such spiritual masters are not at all interested in Vishnu. Indeed, they are hopeful of material success. Bahir artham mananaha. The word bahi means external, artham means interest, and manina means taking very seriously. Generally speaking, practically everyone is unaware of the spiritual world. The knowledge of the materialist is restricted within the 4 billion mile limit of this material world, which is in the dark portion of the creation. They do not know that beyond the material world is the spiritual world. Unless one is a devotee of the Lord, one cannot understand the existence of the spiritual world. Gurus, teachers, who are simply interested in this material world are described in this verse as andha, blind. Such blind men may lead many other blind followers without true knowledge of material conditions, but they are not accepted by devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Such blind teachers, being interested in the external material world, are always bound by the strong ropes of material nature. So again, Natevidu Swartigatimi Vishnu the Rashia Ye Bahavirata Maninaha. Andayatanda Upagya Manas Upan Niyamanas Tepishantriya Murudamni Vadaha. So Omagana Timidanda Shad Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshu Meditam Jena Tasmai Shi Gurve Namaha. So here Prahlad Maharaj is criticizing his guru. Oh my God. But you notice, he doesn't use his guru's name. Like Prabhupada said, when generally, when you're criticized, someone asks, you know, about some bogus person, you can do one or two things. You can say, what are his teachings? And then attack the teachings. Or you can say, who's that? It's like Prabhupada would do both things. And sometimes Prabhupada would actually directly like lay into the particular individual and say, I remember I was listening yesterday, Prabhupada did that with Maharishi. We mentioned Maharishi Mahayesh Yogi. He was very popular in the 1960s, and he was selling mantras by which one could become liberated. Started with $35 for a mantra, then it became $125. You know, the law of supply and demand. And actually all of his disciples, when they later on compared their secret mantras, they all had the same one or two, three mantras. They were seed mantras like I'm or clean. And he told them, this is your personal mantra, secret mantra. Of course, you have Ramanujacharya. He was given a mantra and he was told by his guru not to distribute that mantra anywhere because it could liberate everybody. And then he went to the top of the tallest building and chanted the mantra, and he wanted everyone to get liberated. The guru got angry, but Ramanujacharya explained that he was ready to go to hell to save everybody. And then the guru basically said, you're my guru. So during the 1960s, yes, there was this bogus person. And then Prabhupada, it was an interesting time when Prabhupada was getting ready to leave this world. He was with Tamal Krishnamurti in Rishikesh. You know, they'd gone for good weather and everything like that. And the disciples of Maharishi started to visit Srila Prabhupada and hear from Prabhupada. Then Maharishi sent Prabhupada a message through one of his disciples that we're very concerned about your health. We want you to just rest. And Prabhupada said, because he's worried, I'm going to take away his disciples. So he's saying this. So anyway, so that's a bogus guru. And actually that's a contradiction in terms. You say bogus guru. Because if someone's a guru, they're qualified. Guru means heavy with knowledge. You know, bogus, a light heavy, you know. Anyway. So here we're talking about, getting back to the point. So Prahlad Maharaj is not directly mentioning Shukracharya's name. He's just talking about the philosophy, you know, and the whole point of worshiping a seminal guru or someone who doesn't know the truth, who is blind. Now, Shukracharya is a very interesting personality. He got to be Shukracharya, that is the Acharya, the seminal Acharya, and he got to be the Acharya of the demons because there was some competition. This is told in the Mahabharata. There was some competition. Who would be the priest of the demigods? And Brihaspati won the competition. And so he was really upset that he didn't win the competition and became very, very angry and said, if I can't win the competition to be the guru of the demigods, I'll become the guru of their competitors, which is the demons. And there's a lot of history about Shukracharya. For example, there's that whole story of Lord Vamanadev, where Shukracharya was the guru of Bali Maharaj. And of course that happened later on after this, because, you know, Bali Maharaj is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So, but there's that whole story where he had his eye put out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Vamanadev, and then he became even angrier at the devotees. And there's also the story of how he incarnated in Jagannath Puri later on. Some of you may have heard this story. And he came up with this bogus mantra, Bhaja Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Japa Hari Krishna Hari Ram. He was the one who originated that bogus mantra. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur challenged him. And there was almost a riot in Jagannath Puri, and Bhakti Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur had to save his son by sending him out of Jagannath Puri. Because this personality, who Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said was an incarnation of Shukracharya, was creating problems. So Shukracharya is generally really interested in creating problems for the devotees. I mean, in the Ramayana, of course, you have Shukracharya's whole idea is to have Kekasi approach Vishravas. You know that story? Anyway, he's not a Ram Bhakti. He doesn't know anything. He's from a different place in India. So anyway, so you had the demons were really upset because they couldn't win any of the wars. So they decided, Shukracharya had this idea that he wanted a Brahma Rakshasa. And so, you know, in other words, you combine a Brahmin with a Rakshasini and you get a Brahma Rakshasa. So he sent, Shukracharya's idea was to send Kekasi to approach the sage Vishravas, who is also the father of Kuvera, you know, the treasure of the demigods. And Kekasi approaches Vishravas and allures him, and as a result, they had some nice kids, you know, like Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and one nice kid, Vibhishan, and Sarpanaka. Sorry, I left out the most beautiful girl, Sarpanaka. Anyway, so that's Shukracharya, and, you know, he's completely envious. And another point about seminal gurus that's very important to understand is they are dependent upon those who are paying their salaries. See, that's not a Brahmin. A Brahmin, according to the Vedic or Vaishnava tradition, must take a vow of poverty. And he must actually be ready to, like Chandakya Pandit, who was advising Maharaj Chandragupta, be ready to just leave at a moment's notice if he disagrees with his disciple or whoever he is advising. And that's what happened with Chanakya. And so, as soon as a Brahmin takes a salary for his Brahminical work, see, a Brahmin can have some secondary occupation where he makes money, but if a Brahmin is taking salary or dependent upon those who are giving him money, it's actually, it perverts and contaminates his whole Brahminical nature and whatever he's saying, too. So that's another aspect of the Shukracharya or the seminal disciplic succession. In fact, in the Jiva Dharma of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, there's an interesting story. There's one great devotee, actually there's several great devotees in the story. One, his name is Brajanath, and the other one is Vijay Kumar, his uncle. And Brajanath is a very expert person in Nyaya and also presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he presents to his guru that, Guru Maharaj, I'm making my living by presenting Srimad Bhagavatam. And Guru and he says, is this an offense? And Guru Maharaj says, yes, it's a big offense to make your living in such a way like this. But because you didn't know and you're admitting it, you should stop that immediately and make your living in some other activity that has nothing to do with your preaching. So, you know, there are certain activities. Of course, a Brahmin, according to the strict Vedic conception, has other activities which are we can't do nowadays, like picking up grains in the, you know, silochana, picking up grains in the field and things like that. But nowadays, just to be practical, sometimes a Brahmin has to have a job. But the idea is that one shouldn't contaminate his Brahminical activities by living off of the Brahminical activities. Because it really, you start to think after a while, you know, oh, I'll do a havan for this person because, you know, he'll give a bigger donation like that. You even have that story in the Bhagavatam of Maharaj Nimi and Vasishtha Muni, Maharaj Nimi wanted to do a sacrifice, and he said to his guru, you know, we'd like to do a sacrifice. And Vasishtha Muni said, you know, well, we have to wait a little while. I have an appointment with the demigods. And Maharaj Nimi understood that he was going to the demigods because the demigods give bigger contributions. And so he got a little frustrated with his guru, did the sacrifice anyway. The guru comes back, curses him to die. This is a story in the Bhagavatam. And he dies, and he gets so upset with his guru that he curses guru to die. That's a nice reciprocal relationship with the Guru Maharaj. The Guru says, I curse you to die, and you curse him to die. And they both died. And, of course, Vasishtha came back through the Seman of Mitra and Varuna later on. This is a Bhagavatam story. And Maharaj Nimi, he was later brought back to life by the sages during the sacrifice, and he said, I don't want to be back to life. And they let him die and go back to Godhead. And they basically genetically cloned his body. That's called churning. And so Janaka the First was born. Anyway, that's the story of the Ramayana. So we're mixing Ramayana and Bhagavatam. And actually Bhagavatam does talk about that too. So, anyway, so getting back to the point about what one should have or what qualities one should have to be a guru, these are specifically mentioned in addition to the whole brahminical qualities of sama dhammaktapaksho cham shanti ravjum evacha yanavijanam astikyam brahma karma subhavajam. That's in addition to those qualities. Those qualities are being, you know, equipoise, self-controlled, austere, clean, tolerant, religious, studying literatures, the Vaishnava literatures, and applying. So that's foundational. But in addition to that, there's other qualities that are utilized, or other standards of judgment that are utilized to see if someone is a bona fide spiritual teacher. And those are mentioned. Tadviganartam sagurumeva bigachetsam vipani shrochyam brahmanishtam. So this is another very important verse, that one must accept a guide. Why must one accept a guide? Because we're conditioned souls and we're subject to the frailties of conditioned souls. You know, we have imperfect senses, you all know these things. We make mistakes, you know, we have a tendency to cheat, and we are an illusion. You know, we think we're the body. We make plenty of mistakes. We see things that don't exist and don't see things that do exist, right? And we're generally cheating others because we're posing ourselves as authorities, and really we just like speculating. So because of that, tadvijanartama eva, one must aspire to be a bona fide guru, bona fide guide in spiritual life, in addition to the brahminical qualities, then samitpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Samitpani actually is very interesting. It means fetching firewood or water for the spiritual master. Now that, what does that mean exactly? That one has to, that if one is a bona fide guru, one should be seen to fetch water or firewood quality, excuse me, to the highest degree. And of course we've mentioned this many times over the last few days, the last few years, that, you know, Srila Prabhupada took the instructions of his spiritual master as his life and soul. In fact, Prabhupada was very struck when he read the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Buddhir, Ekeha Kurunandana, Bahushakta Swanandascha, etc. When Prabhupada read that verse, he and the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur connected to one, the point of one point of determination to serving the order of the spiritual master. So when Prabhupada read that, he just like, it furthered his determination, you know, to carry out the order of Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. And we mentioned many times in the last 2 days that Prabhupada, the essential quality that Prabhupada has that really differentiates him from practically all of his godbrothers is his guru bhakti, absolute guru bhakti. Not to say that they didn't have some devotion for their guru, but Prabhupada had absolute devotion. He's ready to go to hell to serve the spiritual master. So that's what Samitpani is. And then Shrotriyam. Shrotriyam is another important quality. That means one must have heard nicely from the spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada, it was interesting, the only question he says that he ever asked the spiritual master was, how could I serve you? You know, sometimes we have so many questions we ask, like, is there snow in the spiritual world? You know, people have asked me that question. Yeah, is there snow? Is there skiing, you know? Can I go bungee jumping in the spiritual world? So there's so many questions, but Prabhupada asked, you know, how can I serve you? And another indication of Prabhupada's exalted position is in the pastimes of his interaction with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There's one time they were on Parikrama in Vrindavan, and the devotees announced that tonight we're going to see this Shirodakshai Vishnu. Actually, remember, we saw her that day. It's a really interesting deity. It's Vishnu with all the demigods around him, with Lord Brahma coming from his navel. Remember we went to the temple? That was interesting. But anyway, they announced that tonight we're going to see, and anybody who wants to stay back, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur will be here. So just about everybody left, except for Prabhupada and one or two of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's servants, because they were trying to see something. But what will you see with your eyes? You know, we see with our ears. What is it? Shru shru shro shradananasha vasudeva katharuchi. Shan mahatsevya vibrut punya tirthanashevana. We serve by hearing, seeing with our ears. And, you know, what will we see? You know, we see the deities with our eyes, obviously. But the real self-realization is, you know, bhavanti ritkarna rasayana katha. To Joshanadashi or Pavargavartmani Shuddhavati Anukramishati, which means coming from the sound vibration from the pure devotee enters in the ears, karna, and it goes to the rit or the heart. So, anyway, so Prabhupada stayed, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarked, he likes to hear. Because there was one time. It's an interesting story. When Prabhupada was at a class of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and one of his godbrothers was saying something, and Prabhupada just talked to him, and then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you know, if you're so intelligent, something like this, you should give class. He chastised him because Prabhupada was talking during the class. And nowadays, I don't know what Prabhupada would do if people's mobile phones would go off in the middle of class. I mean, we didn't have mobile phones at that time. But I remember Prabhupada was very sensitive about sound. I mean, I think Prabhupada would have gotten really angry about that. So anyway, so Prabhupada, he liked to hear. And another proof that he liked to hear was that when he wrote that poem, absolute ascension thou hast proved, in personal calamity thou hast moved. And when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his spiritual master, heard that poem, he said, he has understood my mission. That means he heard nicely. It's amazing. And then he said, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, whatever he writes, you publish it immediately. So that's another indication of Prabhupada's exalted position as being an absolutely perfect guide. That's Shrotriyam. And then last one, of course, is Brahma Nishtam. Brahma Nishtam refers to the platform and devotional service called Nishta, or steadiness. And according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Nishta means 24/7. Not just you got good sadhana, and then the rest of the day all hell breaks loose. You know, like you have a great morning program, chanting and dancing, and then after, thank God the morning program is over. Now, like Prabhupada one time jokingly, he was chanting his japa, and he pulled down the last of the counter beads and said, I finished my 16 rounds, now I can do any damn thing. So that's not nishta. That means, you know, it's good, you have good sadhana, but nishta means all day long you're simply engaged in Krishna service. That's the, that was Prabhupada. I mean, all day long, Prabhupada was engaged in Krishna service. I mean, of course, Prabhupada did have, let's say, close personal relationships with many of his disciples, like here about with Simal Krishnamars, like we're reading the TKG's diary. And, you know, Prabhupada sometimes would joke with devotees. You know, he wasn't just like a machine. There's that story with Shrutakirti, where Prabhupada one time looked at Shrutakirti's feet, and he said, your mother must be very beautiful. And Shrutakirti said, yes, but how did you know? And Prabhupada said, because your feet are very beautiful. So, you know, Prabhupada, he was a person, too. You know, it's not just like some robot. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You know, Prabhupada is a very real person. That's why we're stressing that the devotees should be reading the biographies about Prabhupada and understand how Prabhupada acted and Prabhupada's likes and dislikes. And of course, at the same time, there are certain things, let's say that Prabhupada liked as far as diet. It's not that everybody has to like the same. You know, Prabhupada is a person with personal tastes. You know, Prabhupada considered certain fruits or vegetables. I mean, for example, Prabhupada considered that potatoes were the king of vegetables. I don't eat potatoes. Does that mean I'm in Maya? Yeah, that means, you know, I'm a guru drohi, you know, because I don't eat potatoes. An offender towards my spiritual master. But no, Prabhupada was a person. But as a person, he was, his focus, his complete determination, one-pointed, was to serve his spiritual master. And to in the service of the spiritual master, to bring us closer to Krishna. And it, obviously part of that is being a person. You know, nobody's going to be attracted to a robot. No matter how expert they make robots nowadays. You know, androids they're called. I'm not talking about the operating system on your phone. I'm talking about, you know, anyway, artificial people. So because Prabhupada had those qualities, we understand he's the perfect God. So we should be very careful when accepting guidance from anyone to ascertain whether they have those qualities. Just to reiterate, first thing is the brahminical qualities. They must be, and then also vacho vega manasa, that's part of brahminical qualities. Vacho vega manasa krodha vegam dhiro vegam mudur pasta vegam. As the Nectar of Instruction states, you know, controlling the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. But that's, these are preliminary. Preliminary, because sometimes you may find a Mayavadi who controls the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. So these are like foundational preliminary. But the actual qualities, most important quality, the primary qualities instead of the secondary qualities, are the qualities of Samitpani, Shrotri, and Brahmanishtam. That's the primary quality. You know, you have, yes, primary and secondary qualities. So, anyway, so that's how we know who to accept. And Shukracharya was not one of those people. You know, he was interested in his own salary. You know, because, you know, if you don't, if you become a kula guru and you don't satisfy the people you're working for, you're out of a job. It's like, yeah, you work a job. I mean, you really have to be nice to your boss, right? You can't just, like, talk back and say, you know, I don't like it that you're eating meat. Even if you're a devotee, I mean, you have to be careful. So somehow or other, you know, working a job, really, at the job, you have to step down from the medical platform to be a good employee, don't you? Otherwise, you'll never keep your job. So, but at least in our spiritual life, we should be good employees of Prabhupada and try to please Prabhupada. And he's the boss. as they say in Fiji, is it? Vaso Levo. You know what that means? That means the big boss in Fiji. Vaso Levo. No? You never heard that before?
Vaso Levo.
Fijian. It is
Fijian. Vaso Levo.
Vaso Levo. Anyway, I learned certain things by being in Fiji. So, anyway, so Prabhupada, we can trust. Prabhupada is not swayed by ulterior motives. And whereas Shukracharya, he's being swayed by ulterior motives, and Prahlad Maharaj is rejecting him. It says, that, you know, if you have a bogus guru, then you better reject him. Because if you don't, both the guru and the disciple go to hell. So, got to be careful. So, any questions or comments about these points? Comments, arguments, problems, issues? Requests? No? Yes?
I just have a question about something that was mentioned in the purport.
Okay.
It says here that...
That?
The material world is... Has, I think it was a 4 billion mile. Is it diameter or a radius?
4 billion mile. I think it's a diameter.
Yeah. So, in
this material world, there's many material worlds, many universes. This is just this universe, yeah.
So, in, you know, modern science, they say that they detect things billions of light years away. So, if they are doing that, are they detecting things in other universes?
Or? Possible. Yes, possible. Other universes, you know, there's unlimited universe, like mustard seeds in a bag of mustard seeds, so it's possible whatever they're detecting, or maybe Krishna's just bewildering them by shining lights, you know, with different spectra to make them think certain things. There was once a movie many years ago about someone who was forget the name of the movie. It's not important, you know, it's just Maya. So, someone who was born on a movie set.
Oh, the Truman Show.
Yeah, Truman Show. Someone was born...
You have to watch it for English.
Yeah, someone is... Really? You are educated. Someone is born on a movie set, and they had, like, the stars, artificial stars and everything like that, and he thought, you know, I'm living in the real world, but it was just a movie set. So... It's interesting. Anyone else see that? No. You're the only one who saw it.
Yeah.
You had to watch it for school, right?
Yeah.
So it was... I use that sometimes to when we're preaching to university students to show them what an illusion is. Because Krishna's arranged this in the movie set, he's thinking someone is my mother, someone is my father, someone is his wife, etc. like that. And they're all just actors. And at the end of the movie, he actually becomes liberated. You know, this is the metaphor. Because he breaks out of the movie set and goes out into the real world. So in the same way, we're in this movie set of Maya, where we think things are real in the sense of eternal. They continue to exist. And Krishna says in the Gita, Nasato vijate bhavo, na bhavo vijate sataha, viyorapi drishtavantas. 20 os tatvadarshavi, that those things which are temporary are unreal. You know, that's his definition of reality. So we're in this set where, you know, everything, the set is changing all the time, the bodies are changing all the time, and all of us are being manipulated by the modes of nature. You know, another verse in the Gita, Nihikaschichanamapi, Jatatishtati Akarmakrit. So because of that, it's just like on that movie set, and it's all temporary. Like Prabhupada said, Abhati Sananta Saraswati Thakur. No, it's Prabhupada who said, the whole show is only temporary. And Shakespeare, of course, says, life struts and frets as time upon the stage and then is heard no more. You know, anyway, these are different quotes. So so that's the nature of this world, and we just take it seriously, and it's just the show. And at the end of this, butwa butwa paliyate, at the end of this creation, it becomes wound up and amalgamated in the Lord's body, and again created. So therefore, it's like that. It's like a movie set. And we think we're the stars. Anyway, it's good they make you watch movies like that. These are educational, because they have a message. Many of the movies in Hollywood actually have a message. The Bollywood movies rarely have a message. Rarely. I mean, except for something like Oh My God, that movie there. But there's many of them have a message, and I use the knowledge of these movies in preaching Krishna consciousness when reaching out to the Western people. Because they can relate to it. You know, if I mention The Matrix, for example, they say, oh. I said, that's the material world. We're all in this virtual reality. We're not actually here. It exists. But just like in The Matrix, it exists as a bunch of computer programs. But it didn't exist as the reality that they thought it was. And the material world is like that. The material world exists, but the illusion is that we think it continues to exist, and we think that, you know, there's ultimate reality, and we think that we're part of this material world. So that's the illusion. We're the ones in illusion. You know, in a real sense, the material world is not an illusion. We're an illusion about the material world. It's like the rope or snake example. Like, you see a rope and you think it's a snake. It's not an illusion. It's just that you're seeing it in an illusion. Okay, any other questions or comments? Yes?
I mean, just chronology of the events. So after Nrsimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj became king. He had already rejected Shukracharya. Then how did he happen to be...
Because he was respectful. It's not that... Okay. You know, you follow ordinary etiquette.
So he wasn't removed from his position.
Yeah, right? He wasn't removed. Get out of here, Guru Maharaj. You know, there's ordinary etiquette. Like Prabhupada said, even we respect a king or a president or a prime minister because we understand they've been put there by God. Yes. So, he followed the etiquette and of... relating with, Shukracharya, although he obviously didn't follow his instructions.
Was Shukracharya really that bad that he wasn't teaching his disciples to go back to Godhead? I mean, because Krishna...
He was teaching them sometimes to worship Krishna, but with the idea of getting material goods from it.
Right.
Like he did with Bali Maharaj.
Because in 1037, Krishna says...
No, he wasn't so bad. Sometimes he prayed, you hear about these prayers.
Yes.
But I think... When Shukracharya offers prayers in the Bhagavatam, he's doing it under duress, after he's been defeated.
After he's been punished.
Yeah, after he's been punished, it's just like, yes. I twist someone's arm behind their back and say, chant Hare Krishna, So that, you'll find in the instances in the Bhagavatam when Shukracharya offers prayers, it's something has happened before that. It's not so cool for Shukracharya.
Yes.
So, he's not a pure devotee. He does have some inclination to worship it, and then he gets angry with Vishnu. Like I described, he comes up with this bogus mantra, Bhaja Nitai Gaur Radisham, Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram, which basically means it's against Lord Chaitanya's teachings. The mantra says you can chant loudly Nitai Gaur Radisham, but you shouldn't chant on Sankirtan Hare Krishna. That's what the mantra says. You should chant softly only. So that goes against Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Lord Chaitanya taught us to chant loudly. And that in his discussion with Haridas Thakur, it was stated by Haridas Thakur that the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra can liberate all living entities, even living entities who are immobile, like trees and plants. So, I'm sure Prahlad Maharaj is respectful. He's not going to, he's not going to, kick the poor Shukracharya out,
Yeah.
He needs a job, just like...
But he was risking his children with the supercharging.
No. It's not mentioned how he got his children educated. But, you know, I'm not sure. I have no information about how Prahlad Maharaj educated his children. You know, and Shukracharya, you know, I would be just speculating as far as how that happened. But the point is what I made in the beginning, when the guru or the acharya is accepting money or dependent on the disciple, it perverts everything. Like you have Kripacharya is a similar example, and Dronacharya is a similar example. They were both dependent. You know, there's that whole story about Dronacharya. He was very poor, and Ashwatthama didn't have any milk to drink. You know the story of the Mahabharata?
Yes.
And then so he took employment just so he could have some decent living. Yes. And because he took employment, and then he had to fight on the wrong side. You know, as soon as you become beholden to someone who is not Krishna conscious, you become contaminated. Even Karna, you know, he became beholden to Duryodhana. And he knew he was doing the wrong thing, but out of, you know, so-called friendship, he did it. And so, you know, Kripacharya, similarly. Kripacharya fought on the wrong side, too. Of course, Kripacharya wasn't killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. And later on, he was accepted as the Kula Guru by the Pandavas, one of the Kula Gurus by the Pandavas when they went back to Hastinapur. So, but still, you know, if you become dependent on the mercy of others, you actually, who are not Krishna conscious,
you
compromise your whole spirituality. You know, everything's compromised. Your life becomes compromised when you become dependent. Even materially, if you become dependent on someone who is, let's say, very degraded, you get compromised. I mean, like Vibhishan, he just walked out on Ravana. Vidura just walked out on Duryodhana. He didn't just like change his philosophy. You know, Vidura, yeah, he wanted to stick to his philosophy, so he went on pilgrimage during the time of the battle of Kurukshetra. So you really, just like, let's say even if one's not a devotee, and you're dependent on, you'll say, your father-in-law or something like that, who's maintaining you, and he's just like a really degraded, you know, dacoit, then you become like that. By association, by dependence, by control. I mean, I would never want to be dependent on someone who is materialistic or demoniac like that. Then you have to praise them. I mean, it's just like, oh my God, I hate to use this example. I can't even say his name. He who cannot be named is the President of the United States. Then he has these people who are his chumchaws, you know. And they just have to agree with him, but try somehow or other to control him from, you know, destroying the world at the same time. What a situation to be in. You know, you have, I mean, for example, his press secretary, I'm not going to mention her name. It's so ridiculous. If you see her, she has to lie for him and cover up all of his inequities. I mean, this woman, I mean, and she goes before the TV interviews and they just say, "You're lying." And then she just, you know, beats around the bush, so to speak, starts talking about something else. And you know, that's what happens when you just like accept employment from a rascal. You have to lie, you have to cheat, you have to steal. And there's so many stories, both Vedic and non-Vedic, about this. So better to be independent. Better be like Chanakya, you know, ready to just go rather than lose your Brahminical status.
And Bhishma Dev was also faced with a similar dilemma.
Yeah. Well, Bhishma was a different dilemma. He was attached to the principle of telling the truth, even when telling the truth resulted in adharmic, gave you an adharmic result. That was a little bit different. It's not that he was really, Bhishma Dev was not really dependent on them. You know, he didn't think, I need them to eat, to have a nice room. You know, he was a fierce kshatriya. But he was bewildered by the concept that, we've mentioned before, that dharma comes from following rules rather than understanding the consequence of an action. You know, this is the whole principle of ethics and morality. What is ethical, what is moral? Something that has a good consequence or just the rule itself?
So he was like a follower of the black leather law.
Yeah, he was a Niyamagraha. You understand? Like it said, you know, in the Yashto Upanishad, I mean the Nectar Instruction, Achahara Prayasa Chapa Japam Janasama Shalom Jasadvir Bhakti Vinashati, that following the rules and regulations without understanding the purpose is a detriment or takes one away from Krishna consciousness. I think we have to end here on that happy note. And these are all important verses. I mean, every verse is important. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada.